CliffCentral.com. So listen, Dr. Hanan, how are you?
Hey guys, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's nice to see you. So listen, we love spending Mondays with you, but Simpiwe's come in early this morning to be a part of this conversation. She's lost a close friend and a colleague. She's been receiving endless calls and messages of condolence. And people who really mean well, right, Simpiwe?
Yes.
They're checking in on her, saying, are you okay? How are you doing? And she wants to know if she's weird for wanting the calls and messages to stop, even though they're coming from a good place.
No, she's not weird.
Oh, thank God.
All right. Thanks for coming. Great show, guys.
All right. Well, that was easy.
That was just part one.
So on a serious note, you know, people grieve differently. We all walk through the process of grief, which is, I've mentioned many times before, grief is when my world changes from A to B and my head and heart hasn't had time to adjust to the new world. And healing happens when I eventually accept the reality of what it is. And the way we heal is we got to move forward. We got to progress. We got to still be whatever your identities are. You got to be a father. You got to be a husband. You got to be a son. You got to be a brother. You still got to be a friend. You still have responsibilities at work, and you got to move forward. And as you move forward, you adjust to the reality of what it is. Now, moving forward for a lot of people means, well, for different people means different things. Some people move forward means I got to immerse myself back into work. Other people, I got to immerse myself back into my relationships. Some people, I've got to immerse myself back into supporting the people that I've supported before. Some people have got to adjust and maybe move places. So we heal in different ways. That's why 100 different people will heal in 100 different ways. The common denominator is that we all have to move forward. You have to progress. You can't sit still. Sitting still in the sadness just doesn't work. So the whole illusion of, you know, in order to heal, I've got to sit still, that doesn't make sense. That's actually counter effective. So we got to move forward. So when, you know, when you're going through a process of grief and you want to push people away because it's not helpful to you, that is exactly what you should do. The only mistake that you can make, Simpiwe, is heal according to textbook. In other words, oh, no, the textbook says that I should be hearing from people, surrounding myself with people. I should be doing X, Y, and Z, and which is not true. You heal in your own different way. What I would recommend is that you set boundaries with people. So people are not ill-intentional. They don't want to obviously do the wrong thing. They want to support you, but they don't know exactly what nutrients you need in order to heal. And it is your job, Simpiwe, to let people know, do more of this and do less of that. So set the boundaries and let people know what you need in that particular moment.
Oh, okay. I can definitely do that. I just thought maybe it'd be rude. And, you know, sometimes when people do something out of a good place and you just like, please stop, it always comes across as something negative and people take that in the negative light. But I can definitely do this. This is just part one of like my dilemma, Dr. Hanan, because part two, a few days after the funeral, I had a family member call me and basically was like, throughout this week, I've been seeing you. I think you're so attractive. I think you and I could be a couple.
Oh boy.
And he was basically laying the full
a funeral data.
Yo, and I was just so taken aback because I was just like, excuse me, sir. And yeah, like I'd like to also understand, like, how do people in like a moment like that see an opportunity to kind of want to shoot their shot?
Unreal. I didn't know about this. Wow, Doc, what do we make of that? Some sauciness on the show this morning.
So it is very sleazy for somebody to kind of catch you in the moment of weakness and when you're most vulnerable. It's completely sleazy. It doesn't get more sleazy than that. I mean, you're mourning the loss of your friend and colleague, and the guy sees an opportunity to get in there. It's like, how low can you go? So pick your moments. I mean, look, I always say saying the right thing at the wrong time is wrong, and this is definitely wrong. It's just not good timing. So again, the people will always reveal their true nature. It doesn't mean that everybody is bad. Every guy is bad. Every, you know, man that wants to court you is bad. But, you know, people do reveal their real intention. And if the guy's willing to pick on you, especially at the moment when he sees kind of the gap or sees vulnerability and weakness, well, he's not just going to do it now. He's going to do it throughout your relationships. I know you are, you know, grossed out and you don't want to go there, which is good for you, but you won't believe how many women see this as a nicety, see this as, oh my God, he's such a kind, loving, caring, and pathetic person. And but in this case, it just sounds really sleazy and dodgy. So yeah, you can set the boundaries for sure.
So just judging from our comments, I just wanted to clear something up. Was this a family member?
Not her family.
Not my family member. Humulimo's family member.
Some people were just saying, is it your family member?
No.
And then also Slippery Pickles comment, sex is the best way to overcome grief. And rolled eyes, so I know that they're probably being sarcastic. But you often see in movies, like people who haven't been together for a while, like an ex-husband, an ex-wife or something, end up passionately being together because of a death around them. Is that a thing? Are there these like heightened emotions and vulnerabilities and feelings floating around?
So, look, again, you got to understand what grief is, in order to deal with it. So when, imagine being a complete circle and a person is removed from your life, suddenly it leaves a vacuum. Suddenly your world is not the same anymore. And you got to fill up that vacuum with something else that's quite healthy. Now, the problem with filling that vacuum, and a lot of people do with partying it up, sex, gambling, any addictions, drugs, alcohol, is that, yes, it does fill it up, but not for the long term. It's a quick fix. So you can't do drugs forever. That wears out. And then eventually the vacuum is still the vacuum. You can't party forever. And that vacuum still remains a vacuum. You can't, you know, you can't sleep. Sleep is also a form of quick fix forever. And that runs out because you have to face the world and that vacuum still remains a vacuum. So you got to make sure that you fill up that vacuum with things that are sustainable for the rest of your life. So what is sustainable? Well, they're healthy. We call them healthy anchors. So a sense of purpose, relationship with family, friends, romantic relationships, you're engaging with your health, with healthy routine in the day, things that you can do for the next 70 years. So it's not to say that you shouldn't be, you know, at some point ready to party it out and, you know, do your thing. It's perfectly fine, but it must be based on the foundation of the things that are sustainable for the long run.
Wow, you've come in with some hot info this morning, Simpiwe. My God. Doc, do you think it would be odd? I think I'd probably like people to just leave me alone if I'm dealing with a death in the family. I don't want those calls and messages and things. I don't want a fuss made. I don't want them pitching up at my house unannounced. You know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. Gareth, you know, the truth is I'm exactly the same. When I'm dealing with stuff, I just want to kind of process it in my own way by walking my own journey. And again, it's different for different people. So you and I might find a lot of solace and a lot of comfort in walking on our own. Mm-hmm. Other people find a lot of comfort being distracted by others. So it's really unique for each individual. But the key, though, is you got to ask for what you want because people don't know. People in their minds have got a recipe for you. So people know, well, I dealt with grief in A, B, and C.
Right.
And therefore, you should be dealing with grief in A, B, and C. I walked through this journey with person X and we did X, Y, and Z, and you should be doing the same thing, which is not true. We heal in different ways. The common denominator, and I'll just repeat, the common denominator is that you have to progress and you have to move forward and not sit still. But how you progress and how you move forward is largely dependent on you and your temperament and your nature. So no, it's not weird at all. As a matter of fact, it will be, as I said, counter-effective. If you, for example, read a book and said, well, I need to heal by being with people, it doesn't resonate with your nature. And I suddenly will, but the book says that I need to heal with people. So let me engage with people. And that will do the opposite. It will take you longer to heal because it doesn't resonate with your temperament.
Okay, this is good. This is really helpful. You happy, Simpiwe?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're not weird. Thank you. And that guy certainly is.
Yeah,
we know. It doesn't mean she's not weird. It doesn't mean she's not weird. I mean, it doesn't mean that.
Okay, yeah, good. Good point.
Two different topics.
Hey, is it okay for Leanne to hate me when I talk about obesity in a derogatory way?
Why do you hate him?
No, so that's a strong word. No, Gareth made it up.
It's she despises me when I she does. It's a deep-seated hatred. She wants to stab me in the throat.
No, it just it bothers me because you're an intelligent person, but
you say dumb things.
You base everything on science and you know, biology. And yet when it comes to people being fat, you're just like, you're fucking fat. You eat too much.
I think maybe I'm just projecting. And that's something we've got to discuss on a show too, is this projecting thing. I really don't. So I was with some family 2 weekends ago. And I said to my cousin, you know, ugly people just ruin everything.
Are you trying to make this thing better?
No, listen, I'll explain. So this definitely comes from me, all right? Definitely a me problem. So I love things that are beautiful. I love a beautiful sunset. I love to see nature in all its glory. I love to see a building that is constituted perfectly. I love to see sculpture and paintings.
Okay.
And, you know, and just beautiful things really make me happy, like on a level. I mean, there's a name for people like me, aesthetes, right? We're into really beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And someone ugly will walk into a beautiful setting and just fuck it up completely. And the same goes for fat people. I don't know why, but I have this real, something must have happened when I was a kid or whatever. Fat person must have stolen my ice cream or something.
as all fat people
it's not all they do, because they're greedy.
You probably got bullied by a fat person.
Probably. Maybe that's it. But I've got this thing where I just immediately I see them and it's like they've done nothing wrong. Might be a very nice person. I just immediately it just gets me irritated. I'm like, oh no. Taking up more space.
I've got a solution for you, Gareth. we must. This is called exposure therapy. Have you ever heard of exposure therapy? We put you in a white padded room and we just lock the doors. And every minute we just put a fat person in there to give you a little bit. We'll start with a fist pump. And then we put somebody else that gives you a high five. And then once you get used to that, they'll give you a hug. And then they'll start taking their clothes off. And then we just experience more and more and more and more. And I assure you, I'm giving us 12 weeks. By 12 weeks, you will love a fat person.
I'll crack. I'll die. You'll kill me.
That's what you think.
I don't see the upside. And plus, I don't have 12 weeks for you. Sorry. It just is what it is. All right.
You would have 12 weeks if Dr. Hanan said that fat person will slowly change into the most beautiful woman man you've ever seen.
It's never going to happen.
You would give 12 weeks for that.
I just need 12 weeks for you to see the beauty in the fat person. As a matter of fact, they'll be equivalent to a beautiful sunset.
No. So the sweet pea says, you're no oil painting, Gareth. So I think you're projecting. You hate what you are. All right. Very good. No, you know what? I mean, like some people don't like dogs, you know? Some people are really afraid of dogs. I see a dog and they just don't. Like you don't love dogs, right?
Or animals in general. Like,
right. And here's Leanne, and she loves dogs. Mm. And I just don't like obese people the way that other people are and do. And I can't do anything about that. I don't want to do anything about it. It's not like I go up to them and like Gary Player does and starts insulting them and tells them they must eat less. But I just, you know, less is, in my case, genuinely more.
Well, we'll speak to the endocrinologist. We'll leave it to the specialist.
In the meantime, Leanne's going to carry on hating me. But it's definitely a me problem, all right? Okay. Right. Thank you, Doc. Thank you for dealing with all our psychological issues this morning, mostly with Simpiwez. And I think that her lessons could be helpful for a lot of people, because there are also those who just, they haven't let go, but now that you've also not got to let go. Drag you into their stuff. All right. So much more to talk about, but we've run out of time. Dr. Hanan, we'll see you in a week's time. Thank you, Simpiwez. Very good. CliffCentral.com.